Yes, it's Remembrance Sunday. And I, like Ken, stood on the village green this morning with the village where I live and remembered the people who had given their lives, sacrificed.
Yeah.
And the poem goes that they gave their today that we might have tomorrow. That we are free because of their death.
Yes.
Well, I want to remind you folks, we've just taken communion.
Yeah.
And that's the freedom.
It is the true freedom.
Through that death on Calvary's cross, the death of Jesus, that's where we get our freedom, because who the Son sets free.
Yes, it's free indeed.
Is free indeed. Yes, we owe a debt of gratitude to all those people who served in those wars, those conflicts over the years. But never forget that freedom comes through the blood and the body of Jesus. And I want to talk about that this afternoon. And what I want to entitle my few words to you today is the word neglect. You'll know that I worked for social services, and that one of the things that I had to deal with very often was neglect. And more often than not, it was the neglect of children.
Yeah.
Really difficult to deal with.
It is.
Really difficult to resolve. But one thing was common in every case of neglect that I dealt with, and that was the circumstances were full of distress. Full of distress. In particular for the child, if it was a child, and sometimes for an adult. Neglect results in distress. It's about not giving enough care or attention to people or to things that are our responsibility. You can't neglect something that's not yours.
No.
It's paying the right attention to the things that are your responsibility.
Amen.
And I want to ask you some difficult questions this afternoon. Yes, I want to encourage you, but also challenge you in that, how much attention are you paying to your faith?
Yeah.
Is your relationship with God the center of your life? Or is God just an occasional afterthought? Is your belief in God a daily belief? Something that's in the forefront of your mind all the time? Or are you one of these Sunday go-to-church Christians? Just hold that question about what you do with your faith in your mind whilst I'm sharing these few thoughts with you this afternoon. I want to talk to you about two kings. I want to talk to you about Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk to you about Belshazzar.
Yeah.
The Bible says they're father and son. They might be father and of the family. I don't quite know whether they were actually direct father and son, but for the sake of argument, let's say that they were for this afternoon. And these two kings, they failed to give the full and proper attention that they should have given to God. Both of them failed. And as a consequence, there was distress in their lives, devastating effects in their lives.
Yeah.
Because they didn't pay the full attention to God.
Yeah.
Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar first. He He'd previously stolen the treasures from the temple and had taken them to Babylon. And he ruled with a rod of iron. Yet one day he had a dream, one night rather he had a dream. And when he awoke, he knew that he'd had a dream that troubled him.
Yeah.
He didn't know what the dream was, he couldn't remember it. Have you ever had a dream like that? You know you've had a dream. And you can't remember, that's right, we can't remember with clarity what it was. What was that all about? Yet he knew that it was of importance and that it had distressed him. Couldn't remember it. He knew it was a disturbing dream, but he couldn't remember the detail. So what did he do? He called his magicians, he called his wise men, and said to them, I've had this dream. I want you to tell me what it was all about. I want you to interpret it for me. And his magicians couldn't do it. How can we tell you what your dream is? You can't even tell us what it was all about. How can we tell you what it's all about? There's no one in this land that can do that. Nobody can tell you what your dream was all about. You can't even remember it. Well, this king, this so-called all-powerful king, Amri, and he said that these so-called wise men, these magicians, their number was up. They were going to have to go. They were going to have to die. And I've got the power. I'm the king. I will choose who lives, and I will choose who dies. Now, interestingly, Daniel was one of the people who was counted among the so-called wise men of the time. And he was included amongst the number that had to be slain. Of course, he was taken a bit surprised by that and said, well, I haven't had the opportunity to speak to the king. I haven't had the opportunity to interpret the dream. Why is the king saying that I too have to be slain? So he asked for an audience with the king. And when he saw the king, he said he wanted a little time to pray, of course, but he wanted a little time for God to reveal the dream to him so that he could then come back to the king and interpret what the dream was all about. So Daniel and his friends prayed, and God revealed the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him. And Daniel went back to the king and told him what his dream was all about. And the king wanted to reward Daniel for being able to tell him about the dream that he couldn't remember, and then he could remember it because Daniel told him all about it. This dream was about a figure. It had a golden head, a body of silver, a stomach and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet made of a mixture of iron and clay, and they were broken and smashed by a stone that was cut without hands. And Daniel was able to describe to the king that earthly kingdoms never stand forever, but the kingdom of God will stand forever. And the figure that he saw represented different ages, different times of man. And they were smashed by the rock that wasn't hewn by any human hand, the hand of God, uncut by human hand. Because God's kingdom will never fail.
Amen.
So if you've got your Bibles with you, if you can just turn to Daniel chapter 2. And just at verse 46, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar about his dream. And Daniel had explained the detail of human kingdoms falling, but the kingdom of God would never fail. And the king then said, the king fell upon his face, verse 46 of chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors to him. But it wasn't Daniel that he should have been worshipping, it was God. So the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is the God of gods and Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing that you, Daniel, could reveal this secret, having had it revealed to you by God. Now, the point about that is, Nebuchadnezzar knew who God was.
Yeah.
He knew who God was. He couldn't undo that knowledge. You can't undo that knowledge now, too. You've heard this afternoon that Jesus died for you. You can
Amen.
Never forget that. That is a message that you have got. Nebuchadnezzar, all over Old Testament times, he knew that God was God. He knew it. He couldn't undo that knowledge. He got that knowledge. Yet, he did turn away from God. And he set himself up as a God.
Yeah.
And he wanted all the people to worship him. Silly man. Silly man that he was, even though he was an all-powerful and mighty king, he wanted people to worship him. Now, of course, Daniel and his friends, they refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar. And we can all remember the account of the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were in the fiery furnace and came out not even smelling a smoke. And again, Nebuchadnezzar said, your God is a great God. Your God is a true God. And once again, Nebuchadnezzar recognized the deity of God. It's our God, the same God. He recognized God as God. He knew it. Again, he knew it the first time. He strayed. Set himself up as some sort of deity which failed, couldn't kill the children of God, the three friends of Daniel, nor Daniel. And once again he recognized and acknowledged that God was and God is God, the only true God.
Amen.
So to emphasize the point, he knew it. He knew who God was, couldn't undo that knowledge. It's in his head. I know who God is. It's what he did with it that was the important thing, or what he didn't do it with it, perhaps. He knew that our God, he knew that his God then, Daniel's God, same God as our God, the only true God, is the true God. Well, history has a tendency to repeat itself. And Nebuchadnezzar had another dream, a second dream that Daniel had to interpret. And this dream was about the fall of Nebuchadnezzar. His kingdom would fall because he failed in his life to acknowledge God.
Yeah.
He would lose everything. He would have to live with the beasts of the field. And in the Bible it says he would eat grass. He would be unwashed. His nails would be like claws. Mm. He'd be in a real mess. It's what we would call rootless and homeless.
Yeah.
And he'd stay like that for years. And in fact, he stayed like that for 7 years. 7 years. Rootless and homeless, the most powerful man, the man who would decide whether you lived and died, whatever you did, yet he became effectively a tramp.
Yeah.
With no possessions. Why? Because he didn't acknowledge God.
Yeah.
It took him 7 years to remember, but fortunately for him, thank God, he did remember. And he did turn to God. Nebuchadnezzar turned to God and worshipped God. And his kingdom was re-established. He again became the king. Nebuchadnezzar had neglected God, but he knew, all the time he knew. And he eventually acknowledged the deity of God.
Amen.
So that he was put back in place as the king. His position was restored. Friends, don't be surprised if you fail to acknowledge God, or if you put him in a little compartment somewhere.
Yeah.
That things will go wrong.
They will.
Definitely. At some point in your life, or at the end of your life, things will go wrong.
Yeah.
Make sure that you put God at the centre of your life. And if you haven't got God at the centre of your life, be like Nebuchadnezzar and come back to God and be fully restored.
Amen.
Be like the prodigal son. The prodigal son was always a son, even when he was away in the farmland. But he was estranged. And we too can be estranged from God.
Yeah.
Don't be like that.
Yeah.
Focus on God and make him the center of your life. So that was the story of Nebuchadnezzar, the king who dreamt, who then fell and was restored because he turned his face back to God.
Yeah.
Now his son, might have been his grandson, but never mind about that, his son, Belshazzar. You've heard about the writing on the wall, I'm sure. You know, the writing's on the wall for him. That's a saying that we use. Somebody's going to be in trouble. Somebody's going to fall. Somebody's going to fail. Well, Belshazzar was the king, and he threw a party for 1,000 of his lords. Oh, what a raucous party it was. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had stolen the goblets and the other things from the temple. And Nebuchadnezzar and his party, he used those holy ornaments, those things from the temple, to drink the wine and to party, previously stolen from the temple of God. And they drank their wine, and what happened? A hand appeared on the wall. And the hand wrote some words. Never mind about the words. Yeah, you got them. Never mind about the words. First of all, they saw a hand on the wall writing. Oh, what's this all about? Then it wrote words, and they couldn't read them. They couldn't understand them. I get the pronunciation right. But mine, mine, tekel. Belshazzar was so scared his knees were knocking. Read what it says in the Bible. His bones were shaking, his knees were knocking. What is this all about? A hand, is it? We drunk too much wine? No, I don't think so. We can see the words on the wall, and we can see the hand writing the words on the wall. He was scared stiff, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Not only could he see the hand and see the words, he couldn't understand them. Who am I going to get to tell me what these words mean? I'll give you three guesses and you'll get it in one. Daniel. The queen came and reminded Belshazzar that his father had had dreams, and there was a wise man who, she said, has God with him, and he will be able to interpret what these writings on the wall say. So they sent for Daniel. He was brought in to interpret these words, which were in a different language, words that they didn't understand, couldn't read. And Belshazzar asked Daniel to interpret the words. So if you're still in Daniel chapter 5 from verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, because the king had promised him gifts if he could interpret the words, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. So Daniel knew that again he was going to be used of God to give a message to the king. But before that, Daniel said, O thou king most high, God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar eventually acknowledged God. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slay, whom he would keep alive, whom he would set up, and whom he would put down. God gave back to Nebuchadnezzar all that power. But when Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed and from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him grass like the oxen. His body was wet with the dew from heaven. Remember a few minutes ago we talked about him being out in the wilderness for 7 years. And he was there till he knew the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that it is God who appointed whom we will operate. Now you, Belshazzar, said Daniel, you have humbled your heart, even though you knew, and you know what happened to your father. You knew, and you know, that until your father acknowledged God, he was out in the wilderness. Why haven't you? Because you know this, you know the truth, you know the way. Why haven't you, like your father eventually did, why haven't you acknowledged God? You know. We know. Thank God we know. And we've honored God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But for those that don't, and they hear the word, they cannot undo that knowledge. And Belshazzar himself, he couldn't undo the knowledge of A, what had happened to his father, and B, that he knew it. He knew that his father was only restored once he acknowledged God. So what did the writing mean? Well, Daniel interpreted it. God hath numbered your kingdom and finished it. You are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and will be given to the Medes, Medes and Persians. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Never put yourself in that position. Never be found wanting before God. The answer to that is that you worship him, acknowledge him, believe in him, take him into your life. Make him the center of your life. Don't neglect your faith. Believe in him wholeheartedly, not just on a Sunday afternoon. We said before that Belshazzar's knees were knocking, and so they should, because that night the Medes and the Persians overtook the country and he was killed. He had failed, even though he knew he had failed to acknowledge God. Do not acknowledge God, friends. Do not fail to acknowledge God, because the consequences are devastating. Absolutely devastating. Belshazzar, he neglected God. He lost his life. Nebuchadnezzar neglected God, but he had another opportunity. And although he did suffer for 7 years, he did acknowledge God and his kingdom was restored. Belshazzar, no, he died. So what of these two Old Testament stories, accounts, got to do with us? Well, you'll be surprised to know they do apply to us. And if you turn to Hebrews, a book that was written to believers. Now, I think it must have been written by a Yorkshireman, because it tells you straight. It tells you straight. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, straight John Bull, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friends, you and I, we've been told. We know it. Don't neglect your salvation. Now, I'll be the first to admit there have been times in my life where I've not been as warm and as close to God as I should be. Thank God I'm with him and he's with me.
Amen.
Now, that's lovely. We do know the way. It's preached from this platform every Sunday, every Wednesday. We know. We hear it. And you can't unknow that.
No.
We know the truth. We know that he is the one that died, Jesus, and it's through his death that we are free. Because whom the Son sets free, free indeed. And because we know God, we should honour him. That's our responsibility. We should honour him. Take time to honour God, not on a Sunday afternoon and a Wednesday evening, but in all of your life, everything that you do, do it to the glory and honour of God.
Amen.
Do not, me included, do not neglect so great a salvation. Because it is a great salvation. We've been given a gift of eternal life with God. Don't neglect it. Don't let it fade away. Keep your heart and mind focused on God. Don't be lukewarm. Phrase again, a Sunday go to church Christian. Pay full attention to God.
Amen.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. You know, I often think I love football. And you can sit and watch a football match for 90 minutes. How much time do we give God every day? Challenge yourself, folks. Challenge yourself. Spend time in the Word. Spend time thinking about God. Spend time talking to God.
Amen.
Don't neglect that relationship that you have with him, because it is so precious. And again, I will say, to neglect it, there will be devastating results.
Yeah.
Don't take that risk. Focus on God. So a simple and relatively brief message from me today. Not to neglect your salvation, but to focus. focus on God. We've given some examples from the Bible of people who did. Powerful people. Kings. It is so, so important that we do not neglect this precious and great salvation that we have. I've got a few texts that I'd like to just share with you. As you would understand, there are times many texts in the Bible that can reinforce what I've said. I just want to share a few with you. You don't have to look them up, but you can write the reference down if you want to. So 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. You know, you can't unknow.
No.
You cannot unknow now. You know the way of righteousness. And now that you know, if you turn your back on it, it would have been better that you hadn't known in the first place. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Seeing that you know these things, beware, lest you also be led astray with the error of the wicked, and you fall from your own steadfastness.
Yeah.
The message is pretty clear, folks. Stand firm.
Amen.
In your faith.
Yeah.
Do not waver. There are principalities and powers, we've heard that already this afternoon, in this world that will try to knock you off course.
Yeah.
Stand firm, be steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let strange sects and strange religions lead you astray. And there will be. There will be more of that. And we can see it in this country, can't we? As if you're a Christian, you're not allowed to speak about it, really. You can talk about other things in terms of equal rights and one thing and another. But if you want equal rights as a Christian, that's not quite right. You can't wear a cross if you're a nurse, or you can't do this if you're a Christian. Or there was a lady also who was an air hostess who wore a cross, and she got sacked for that. If there was somebody who wore a burqa and was a, without to criticise anyone, they would be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Do not be led astray.
No.
Stand firm, even if sometimes, as it will, it will cost you to stand.
Yeah.
And it does. Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. Who do I have in heaven but thee? There is none on earth that I desire but thee. My flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. Like Joshua, wait on the Lord. In the Psalms, wait on the Lord. God is our strength. Be steadfast. Look to God. Keep your eyes on Him, and He will keep you strong. Matthew 24, a famous chapter, but verse 13. He that shall endure until the end shall be saved. That is what we have to do. We have to endure. We have to keep at it. We have to fight the good fight. We have to keep going. We don't have to turn our back on Him. We don't have to turn away from God. We have to endure. That's the important thing. Keep going. Don't give up. Because in James chapter 1 and verse 12 it says, James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth. He shall receive a crown of life.
Yeah.
That's our reward. Endure throughout all of your life. the tasks of your life God's tasks. Seek his way, not your way, his way. Same for me. That I should seek his way and his direction in my life, so that I am working for him and that he works through me. That's what I want. And although it's difficult to say to you guys, you keep your eye on God, because I'm sure you do. I want to say it because I feel as though I've had to say it. Because of what I felt God wanted me to say today, is to keep steadfast, endure until the end. Because that's how you'll get the crown of glory. And again in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
The devil is not going to waste his time if you are steadfast and enduring with God. He knows he's lost. He knows he can't win. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. That's the answer, folks. You seek to draw near to God, to endure, to be steadfast. That's the answer. That's the answer to fulfilling your Christian life, your discipleship. To draw near to God, and he, in return, will draw near to you. And how do we do that? Well, in Exodus 34 and verse 14 it says, you shall worship no other God. There is no other God. And if you do, it says, the Lord is a jealous God. It's amazing that our God is a jealous God. He doesn't like it when you have things in your life that you put before him. He wants to be first. He wants to be the focus of your attention. And if he's not, he's jealous. That's why I say that there will be distress and devastation. You can see it in countries. You can see it in individual lives.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen to any of us.
No.
Worship no one else, nothing else, the only true God.
Amen.
So there are some things that I want you to cultivate in your life to do this. Couple of verses in Galatians. It tells us straight and to the point, cultivate these gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. What are they? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Meekness isn't weakness either.
No.
Meekness is the evidence of strength. It's the evidence of strength. Develop those fruits in your life. They are the evidence of your faith, of you living out that faith that you have in God. The fruits of the Spirit. Explained in simple words there in Galatians. Joy. Sometimes we have things in our life that make it difficult to be joyful, but we should always have the joy of God. It's the first in the list. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace. Sometimes we hear about Jesus being tough and real tough guy, and he probably had to be pretty tough in those days, but he brought peace, and he was long-suffering and gentle, full of goodness. And we have to have faith. And again, my definition of faith, my father gave me, forsaking all, I trust him. once you've got that tree of faith in your life, you can't miss it. It'll definitely be the centre of your life then, because it will be in ours. It might have started as a mustard seed, but a mustard tree is a big tree. So, don't neglect your faith. Develop these gifts. Trust in the Lord for them. Stand firm in your faith. Be resolute. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what we must do. And we must continue to do that. In these days, it's really difficult times that we're living, even in this so-called Christian country. Stand firm in your faith, friends.
Amen.
Encourage one another, support one another, because we need to support one another in the faith to make sure that nobody falls, nobody slips, nobody feels alone, nobody feels distressed or unwanted or unloved. God is in control.
He is.
He knows what's going on.
He is.
And so we must honour him. And he in return honours us. And we will receive a crown of glory. A crown of glory. And just a final sentence from me in this relatively short but more pointed message. The glory of God's mystery, where is it? Which is in Christ Jesus. And where is Christ Jesus? In us. In us. Our hope of glory. Our hope of glory. The glory of God's mystery, which is Jesus Christ.